Tonight's reading is from the Psalm 121. It can be found on page 621. My help comes from the Lord. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore.
When did you last feel despair? That panicky feeling in your heart, where you feel completely powerless to change the situation you're in, and you start to fill with worry and anxiety. For me, it was last Saturday, when I was waiting for a train. It was already 20 past 10 at night, and I was in Farncombe, and the train had already been an hour late. And the problem was, if it didn't come very soon, I'd be stuck in nowhere, and I wouldn't be able to get home. And the thing that kind of really freaked me out and made me worry quite a lot was the fact that I had no control over the situation. I'd already been waiting an hour. I mean, when was the last time for you that you just had that kind of panicky feeling in your heart? Perhaps it was maybe one night last week when one of your children wasn't sleeping properly. Panic starts to set in as you look at the situation and you just don't know what you're going to do. Your heart fills with worry. Or maybe it's something as simple as you've lost something. You've lost something in the house and you can't find it and you're freaking out, you're worrying. Or maybe at work you look at how much stuff you've got to do and then you look at the time that you've got to do it and you just feel gripped with despair and anxiety. Perhaps your job at the moment is really uncertain. Perhaps you're in a situation where you don't know whether you're going to have a job in the next month and all you're thinking about is your mortgage that you've got to pay, your family that you've got to support. Those things are going through your head. And there's lots of things in life that are really uncertain and out of our control. And perhaps if you're like me, when you're in those situations, your mind starts to fill with the problems that you're facing and you think about them constantly and your heart's gripped with worry. Or perhaps you get stressed, you get angry, you get really frustrated. And all of that behaviour is evidence that when it comes to uncontrollable circumstances, we often look to ourselves for help. And the problem is that that only leads to worry and stress. And life's always been like that. Right, hundreds of years ago in the Old Testament, life was like that with uncertainties, unpredictable circumstances. And this psalm here that we see in front of us is written for the Israelites to sing as they travelled up to Jerusalem to worship God. And on this journey that they were on, there was a variety of uncontrollable circumstances. There was lots of things for them to worry about. Firstly, when they were on that journey, they were travelling there to worship, they'd be carrying a tenth of what they owned, their money. So they'd be carrying it to Jerusalem on this journey, and they'd know full well that quite often there are robbers that come out from the hills to try and steal their money. So if you could imagine walking through a dark, dangerous place in London with a couple of £1,000 in your wallet, you would feel worried. And just imagine the journey that they were on. It wasn't an easy journey. It was a journey with rough terrain, unpredictable surroundings, wild animals. And this psalm was used for them to sing out loud together as they were walking along to help them on their journey. And if you read verses 1 and 2, if we read those together, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And the big theme of the song that they're singing together is really laid out clearly in those first two verses. When faced with all the uncertainties and troubles of life, where does my help come from? And perhaps we'd read this and we'd look at it and think, well, maybe it comes from the hills, looking at verse 1. But that's not what they're saying at all. It's hard to tell 100% for certain what the hills actually are in this psalm. But some people talk about it as being where the robbers come from, where the robbers come to steal their stuff and to mug them. So that the hills definitely aren't a place where they'd look to for help. They're a place they recognize as a place of despair. The answer they clearly give it to is in verse 2. They say boldly and clearly, "My help comes from the Lord." And the purpose of this song was to get them to look away from themselves, away from their circumstances, and look to the Lord, to trust in him, to depend on him, to feel confident in him. And we too are on a journey. Our journey is not to Jerusalem, to worship God in Jerusalem, but we're on a journey to the new Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth, where we'll be with God forever. And the path of our journey right now is full of uncertain circumstances, full of troubles, just like it was then. And we need to sing this song together. We need to read it, to understand it, to preach it to ourselves, to get it into our hearts, so that our eyes turn away from ourselves when we're in trouble and we turn to the Lord. We turn to him and trust in him, depend on him. And there's two wonderful truths, two wonderful reasons in this psalm about why we should look to the Lord. See, our hearts need convincing. We can say trust in God, but our hearts need convincing why. And the two reasons are, firstly, the Lord is all-powerful. And secondly, the Lord tirelessly watches over your life. And let's take that first one. Because the Lord is all-powerful. Did you see it in verse 2 where it says, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth"? Now, when we ask someone for help just in everyday life, our confidence in their ability to help us comes down to their own ability, what we know of them, their capabilities. So, for example, if you're at home sifting through a load of receipts and you're trying to work out all your finances and you get in a real struggle and a mess and you ask your 6-month, 3-year-old child for help, that's a bit ridiculous. They can't help you. They're powerless to do anything other than cry, sleep and poo at that age. They can't do anything. Or imagine a surgeon was performing open heart surgery and suddenly there's a vein that he cuts that he shouldn't have cut. It all goes wrong. Blood starts splurting everywhere and he panics. He's got a cold sweat and he turns to the nearest person to him, which happens to be someone from HR just walking past the corridor. He passes them the scalpel and says, "Help." That person wouldn't be able to help. They don't have the knowledge to do that. They don't have the power to do that. But what happens when we're in trouble, when we need help? What do we so often do? We look to ourselves. But the thing is, that's just like relying on a 6-month-year-old baby to help us. We don't have the power to control uncontrollable circumstances. We can't do it. So it's no wonder that we get stressed, that we get worried, that we just get in a right mess when we try and deal with it ourselves. Now, when things happen to us that are out of our control, things like sickness, job loss, or all the unpredictable things in life, we need someone who actually has the power to control all of these things. We need someone who holds the very earth in the palm of his hand. In Isaiah 40, God shows the Israelites just the madness of looking to anyone else other than him for help. And he says these words in Isaiah 40, verses 25 to 26. "To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing." Now, to help this passage really sink in, there's a little clip that we're going to watch that will appear just now. That is the kind of God that we have as Christians. So when you're in trouble, where are you going to look for help? Yourself or the one who created the heavens and the earth? But the thing is, to know that God is all-powerful isn't necessarily an assurance to us, because he could well be all-powerful, but if he didn't care for us, then we could turn to him and ask him for help all we like. But if he didn't care for us, then that will be of no assurance to us. And we're going to see in the next few verses that just how much God cares for us. So we're going to start to look at our second point, which is the Lord tirelessly watches over your life. And the writer of the psalm really makes sure now that when the Israelites are on their journey, faced with all these trials and problems, when they're singing this song, he really makes sure that they will be in no doubt that this all-powerful creator is their keeper. As we read through the verses 3 to 8, just notice how much he says the word keeper. So starting at verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord was their keeper, their protector, guardian, carer. He was watching over them. And he is watching over us too, protecting us and guarding us on our journey to the new creation. And we see in verse 3 and 4 that this protection is tireless. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I wonder if you've ever been in that horrible situation. I hope no one's in it now, when you're in a talk and you just can't stop falling asleep, like your head starts drooping. Or perhaps you're in a prayer meeting. And the thing is, when that tiredness grips you, it's so horrible and you can't fight it off because your head keeps bobbing like that. And I can remember at university late at night trying to finish off my dissertation. And typing when you're tired just goes to the pot and you end up leaning on a key and you end up with lots of P's going across the screen. And the thing is, that never happens with God. We work and do something, but there comes to a point where we have to sleep. We can't keep going forever. But this doesn't happen with God. His protection over us is round the clock. It never stops. He does not slumber. He does not sleep. There is never a time when God is not looking after you. But perhaps you're sitting here thinking now, you can say that God doesn't ever stop looking after me. But what about the other week when I found out that a member of my family had cancer? What about the other day when I found out that I was going to lose my job? What about the other day when this happened or this happened or this happened? What about then? It didn't feel like then that God was looking after me. To be honest, it felt like God had gone to sleep. Because when you look around the world, the reality is, for Christians, their lives aren't really, on the face of it, any different from non-Christians in terms of suffering. Both get ill, both lose jobs, both go through the daily grind of life, getting rained on, being stuck in traffic, all those kind of things that get us frustrated. All of us go through it. So if Christians suffer just as much as non-Christians, what does God's protection actually look like? Well, let's just have a look at those verses that God promises us. Verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved or slip. Verse 5, the second half of verse 5 and verse 6. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you, nor the moon by night. So what's the promise for the Israelites that they would not get sunburnt on their journey and they would never fall over? Is there some kind of physical protection for us now? Well, I think to properly understand this psalm, we can't just see it in a pigeonhole. We've got to look at the big picture of the whole Bible. And we need to get an idea of what things are like elsewhere in the Bible. And if you look at the life of Paul, for example, he wasn't kept safe from troubles and hardship, from physical suffering. 2 Corinthians 11, he tells about the dangers that he faced. And he said this. He says, I was in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. God didn't keep him safe from physical harm all the time. Jesus himself suffered greatly. We know that. And he warned us that if you were to come and follow me, you will face suffering. The Bible's really real about the daily suffering that Christians have to go through. And Jesus, when praying to his Father about how the world hates those who follow him, in John 17 verse 15, he says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them safe from the evil one. I'm not asking you, Father, that you would take them out of the world, that you would take them out of suffering, relieve them from suffering, but that you would protect them from the evil one. It's not always God's intention to take us out of present suffering. There are times when he does, but it's not always. But there is still encouragement to be had from this psalm if you are going through present physical suffering. There's a massive encouragement to be found in knowing that our suffering is not pointless. Now, we've seen so far that God is the creator of the universe, which means that he is in control of everything. Now, however hard that is sometimes to get your head around, it means that he is right behind the suffering and he's using that suffering. And we've seen in like Romans that we've been doing in growth group how he uses the suffering to grow us and mature us and make us more like Christ. And don't think that God doesn't care, that he doesn't care about your suffering. Notice the intimacy of God's care for you in verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. He doesn't just look after God's people. He looks after you. He's at your right hand. He's close. He's right there with you right now, whatever you are going through. He hasn't fallen asleep. But we've got to ask the question. So if the promise here isn't firstly for physical protection, What is it from? What does God promise us protection from? Well, Jesus gives us the answer, I think, in chapter 17 of John, the one we read out earlier on, chapter 17 of John, verse 15. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Now, for the Israelites, protection from the sun and moon that it talks about in verse 6 would have made them think about pagan worshippers of the sun and the moon and evil spiritual forces. And in verse 7, it says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. The protection that God promises is from evil, from the devil. In John Bunyan's famous book, Pilgrim's Progress, Christian is on a journey to a city, and that city is a picture of the new heavens and the new earth. The same journey that we're on. And there's many different things that try and kick him off the path, try and get him off the path. And one of the greatest scenes in the book, when I read it, was when Satan meets him on the path. And John Bunyan describes Satan like this. He says, now the monster was hideous to behold. He was clothed with scales like a fish, and they're his pride. He had wings like a dragon and feet like a bear, and out of his belly came fire and smoke, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. In 1 Peter 5 verse 8, Peter says, your adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And if you've ever seen a lion in a zoo or on a safari, they're incredibly muscular creatures. And if you could imagine, if that lion was let out of the zoo cage, or if your little minibus on the safari broke down, and you found yourself standing right in front of that lion when it was agitated, worked up, roaring, hungry, wanting something to eat, you would have no hope, no hope whatsoever. And on our own, we have no hope against the devil. He's like a powerful, agitated, hungry lion seeking someone to devour. He wants to knock us off the path, and he'll use any method possible to do this. He'll take your sin and he will beat you over the head for it and say, what are you doing coming to the barge? You shouldn't be here. You're a hypocrite. Look at your life. He'll feed you lies about God, saying God's a harsh, unloving God. Look at the suffering you're going through. What kind of God would let you go through that? He'll tell you you're missing out. He'll make you look at the world and think that they're having a better time, that we're missing out. And if we're left on our own, he would devour us and there would be no chance of us getting to heaven. But we are not on our own. We have the Lord, the creator of the universe, watching over us, protecting us and guarding us. Like a fully armored tank, he stops any harm coming to us. He stops the devil from pushing us off the path. He will not let your foot be moved, verse 3. Verse 5, as shade shelters us from the sun, so the Lord is your shelter from harm. Look at the wonderful way that verse 7 and 8 just sum everything up. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. He will watch over, guard and protect you every single day of your life, never ending, never stopping. He will make sure that you get to heaven and will continue watching over you forever, even once you're there. Now, we might feel quite rubbish sometimes, like we're not very good Christians and there's no hope for us to finish the journey. I know that John Bunyan, in his story, he alludes to the fact that he often really struggled with assurance. Like he constantly worried and thought, I'm not going to make it, I'm not going to get there. And the wonderful, amazing thing in this psalm is that whether we get to heaven or not is not down to us. It's down to the almighty, powerful creator of the world who protects your life and he makes sure that you get there. And he won't let you down. He won't stop protecting you. He will make sure that you get there and no evil power can get in the way of that. So, next time you are faced with unpredictable circumstances, next time where you're faced with things that lead to despair, rather than looking to yourself, we must look to the Lord. We've seen that he's the Lord who created the world. He's all-powerful. The Lord who tirelessly watches over you. And just as we close, there's a reason that this is a song. We can't think that for the Israelites on that journey, after reading this once, they would just be fine. You know, they wouldn't worry. There's a reason it was a song that they had to learn off by heart and sing to each other and really ram into our hearts. There's a reason it's written the way it is, the way it keeps saying, keep, keep, keep. Because it's a song that should be in our hearts. And we need it. We need it when we face struggles, when we face suffering. Maybe now's not a time of suffering, but maybe later it will be. And we need to pick up this psalm and read it again and again and again. And it's been a real encouragement for me over the last few weeks. There's been times where maybe in the past I would have been led to real sort of despair. But just remembering some of these truths has really helped, just dwelling upon the character of God. So I would really encourage you to do that over the next few weeks. As we close, let's pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are our keeper, that no harm can come to us, no one or evil power or any suffering that we go through can snatch away our eternal life, our salvation. You guard and protect our eternal life until Christ returns. And we pray that we remember that truth and hold on to that and it would encourage us through times of suffering. Amen.